Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. The Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great Melonzo, and you. 844-326-3663. 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. Couple of texts to our Hub City Spartanburgers text line. It is that same number, 844-FANFONE. That's 844-326-3663. Texter said, 2 points I would like to make. South Carolina has one win left on that schedule. That is it. Second point, watching Beamer on the sidelines is more entertaining than the game. His expressions are great. He seemed a little mad on Saturday. And for the record, justifiable in a couple of spots. That fake punt that would have been a first down, that the referees blew dead, I had a problem with it too. I was as heated as Shane Beamer was at the way that that went down. Referee comes in. There was a substitution by South Carolina. Defense must be given an opportunity to respond. The white cap runs in front of the punter with the hands out, signaling not time to snap the ball yet, right? Then he starts backpedaling out from in front of the punter. But the hands stay out. Well, when the punter sees the white cap leave the field of vision, as he is looking out at the defense, I'm assuming saying, let me see if we get a defensive lineup that justifies running this fake punt. As the white cap backs out of the way, he goes ahead and calls for the snap. The snap is made. South Carolina runs a fake punt that could have very well been a game changer. South Carolina was not having as difficult of a time moving the ball as it sounds like based on what I said in the last segment, because they were so dialed in on Lenora Sellers that they were having some pretty good luck running the football with Attaway and Faison. Like, they were moving the ball well enough that they could have taken that, maybe scored a touchdown, maybe the game changes, who knows. But the white cap did not drop the hands and signal the ball was live for play, even though he had backed out of the punter's face. And Shane Beamer was saying, look, dude, if you get out of his way, he's like, why would he not assume the ball is ready to be snapped? You took away a massive play and a first down from us. I was also heated for the exact same reason. But there was a lot more wrong in that game than just that. So to answer the question, After that loss to LSU, what do I see left on the schedule? Despite the fact that they just lost to Texas, Texas has something going for them that South Carolina doesn't, which is a solid offensive line. Like I said, there is one difference between Arch Manning and Lenora Sellers. I would make the argument the two quarterbacks in the Southeastern Conference who have the biggest gap between what we expected and hoped for versus what we are seeing on the field. The difference is, with Arch Manning, it's Arch Manning. The excuse is, I mean, you can say the wide receiver talent's not what it was last year, and I have to agree with that, but the talent is still there and still around him, including a very sturdy offensive line. That's not the case for Lenora Sellers. Arch isn't reaching his potential because of Arch. Lenoris isn't reaching his potential because of that offensive line. I am convinced of that. So if I'm looking at that right now, despite the fact that Oklahoma lost to Texas, and for the record, relatively convincingly, like John Mateer did everything he could do to keep them alive, but that was Texas's day. I can't see South Carolina beating Oklahoma, even if it is at home. Oh, by the way, courtesy of that loss to LSU, that game is now a 12:45 kick. So you don't get the benefit of a full, liquored up nighttime Willie B. I don't see you beating Alabama. I mean, I know that Ole Miss was in a game this weekend with Washington State that they squeaked out with a three-point win. But in the battle of Lenora Sellers is right now, I don't see you beating Ole Miss. I don't see you beating Texas A&M. I see you beating Coastal, and I'll keep it a buck. I'm picking Clemson if that game's today. Granted, and Cade Klubnik, and we're going to talk about Clemson here in a minute. Cade Klubnik played out of his mind this weekend. Played really well last weekend, too. The question is, can they do it against a team with a pulse? Because North Carolina and Boston College are both, and I'm using the technical term here, bad at football. But at least I can see the positive forward momentum there. I saw South Carolina punching themselves in their own junk against LSU like a bunch of times. So right now, today, I got one win left on the schedule for South Carolina, and it's Coastal. And as we pointed out a few times, that's Coastal Super Bowl, just like it was SC State, which it took y'all a while to separate from. I think Coastal's better than SC State. So if you have that same type of performance, I don't even know if that one is the guarantee that we would like it to be. I mean, I think it is. I think you're winning that game. It's a team that lost to Old Dominion, got hammered by Virginia, and lost to ECU. Like, it's not an atrocious team. You shouldn't be in a game there. But right now, today, after what I saw against LSU this weekend, an LSU team that I still today believe is overrated. They're a top 10 team now. I don't think they are top 10 good. LSU was a team that 3 weeks ago, I think a lot of people were going, that's a national championship squad. 2 weeks ago, I said, I think that team's overrated. And then they lost to Ole Miss. I think they're good. I don't think they're bad. You saw what Garrett Nussmeier is. You had a chance to beat this team. But a combination of atrocious offensive line play that got your O-line coach fired yesterday, and what I still, even with the offensive line being what the offensive line was, criticisms and all, I still put a lot of this at the feet of Mike Shula. I'm watching this game on Saturday night, and I'm like, you see what is happening here. They're doing the same thing. They're beating you with the same strategy every down. And you didn't respond to it at all. If they are vacating a spot, attack the spot. If a team is constantly running a cornerback blitz at you, attack that spot. If they're constantly coming at you with the weak side linebacker, attack that spot. If they are constantly telling their left edge rusher to just get up the field, do not let Lenora Sellers run right. Did you notice that every time that Lenoris got out of the pocket and was able to deliver a ball, he was running to his left? He was running to where it was sprint, 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 get the body turned, then deliver the ball. That's a hard thing to do for any quarterback. I don't care how good you are. They were not going to let him roll to the right. Well, if they're bringing the edge, and if they're bringing a backer up to fill that spot in contain, that means there's a hole there. Attack it. And it just didn't happen. When your offensive line's that bad, and when they are beating you with the same thing, and I don't see you adapt to fix that thing, what am I supposed to lean on here? The blueprint's out. Unless something drastic changes, Oklahoma's going to do to you exactly what LSU did. Alabama, who has been a different team since they lost to Florida State in week one, Alabama is going to do the same thing. And I got news for you. Alabama's better at it than LSU. So if LSU had that much success, what in the world do you think Alabama's going to do to you? That probably the only team left on the schedule outside of Coastal, the only team left on the schedule that isn't as good at that thing that LSU is probably Ole Miss. Here's a problem you bump into right now. What's killing South Carolina defensively? Quarterbacks who can move a little bit. Quarterbacks who can move. Bo Pribula at Mizzou. Diego Pavia at Vandy. Quarterbacks that can move are killing you. Do you know what Ole Miss has? Ole Miss has a quarterback that can move. Trinidad, I'm going to say this, and I don't mean it to be anything that's going to get sharp objects thrown at me, but it's going to. Trinidad Chambliss is a better Lenora Sellers than Lenora Sellers right now. It's not Lenora Sellers' fault, but Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin, he sees what he has at quarterback, and they're calling to that. They have changed all of the scheme that they had from the beginning of the season. They have changed the scheme because they got a young man who has broken out on the depth chart. They figured out, all right, we made a change at quarterback. We are now going to go not with Austin Simmons. We are going to go with Trinidad Chambliss. And we know what this cat can do. We know what he can do on the move. We know what he can do outside of the pocket. We know that if we can get him a big head of steam and one-on-one to the outside, he's going to win that way more often than he loses it. And they're calling to that. Versus South Carolina, who I hoped after the Kentucky game would have learned a lesson. Hey, with this offensive line, we should move Lenoris around. Nope, he's a pocket passer. What are we doing? What are we doing here? I don't know, man. It's shocking, to be honest with you. It's shocking. I firing Lonnie Teasley, I'm not a root for guys to lose their job guy. But firing Lonnie Teasley was a necessary step. It just was. It is the weak point. So when I look at your schedule and with what you have right now, with what you have right now, Sean Elliott taking over coaching the offensive line, with what you have right now, if I was in Lenore Sellers' ear, I'd be saying, you're hurt, man. Like, you got wrecked in that LSU game. That ankle's hurt. That knee's hurt. That hip's hurt. Something's hurt. And it's hurt for at least a couple of weeks until they figure out what they need to do to set you up for success. Because you set them up for success, and that favor was not returned this year. Like, it hasn't been. I'm sorry. So, I don't know. Spartan Bird J texts the show. He said, Monday morning, Lonzo, I agree. I'm not a quitter either. However, I understand Rob's point. Put myself in Sellers' position to reach a dream of making the NFL or possibly get injured because of the O-line. I mean, I don't know. Appreciate that, Jay.
Yeah, if this were to happen, it would cause a problem throughout college football because there'll be players quitting all over the place. And then the old hat to say college football is dead, they would be right because it would be dead.
I mean, look, how many Lenora Sellerses are there, right? Like, this is the problem. This is one of the problems that college football fans have is that you extrapolate this one dude to all of college football. This isn't going to become a college football thing because there ain't but two or three Lenora Sellerses.
Very true. But those players believe that they are on that level. And there's going to be other players go, well, he did it. I'm going to do it too. I'm ready for the NFL. I'm sorry, coach. Sorry, guys. Shutting it down.
The difference is there are a handful of guys that are going to even be close to evaluated as an NFL talent.
Doesn't matter. They see it happen once. Then those guys, whether they're talented enough, and you're right, there's not a lot of Lenore Sellers out there. There are guys who are lesser talent, but they don't believe that about themselves. They see him do it, then they're going to do it too.
For the record, there's also not, because I looked
up. I also want to point out, if you're just tuning in, Lenore Sellers hasn't said he's going to do any of the stuff that Rob thinks he should do.
This is 1,000% because I am looking and going, dude, if I was in his ear, I'd be telling him, you're hurt. You're not playing until that offensive line gets right. And maybe Sean Elliott fixes it. I hope he does. But right now, there are, across all of college football, there are 9 guys that are getting paid $3 million or more. 9. Arch Manning, Carson Beck, Jeremiah Smith, A.J. DeBanza, Garrett Nussmeier, Lenora Sellers, Darian Mensah, John Mateer, Bryce Underwood. That's it. That's the list. That's the whole list. And the other guys that are getting paid 2.5 or more, there's only three guys making 2.5 or more. Josh Hoover at TCU, earning it. Ryan Williams at Alabama, didn't even touch the ball this past weekend. They still won. And JT Toppin at Texas Tech. And again, the Texas Tech guys are outliers. They're doing that this year because they had one guy step in and go, here's a buttload of money. This is not going to be an everything year. This is an all-in year for the Red Raiders. I don't think they're going to be getting that blank check every year. So, yeah, like, I get what you're saying. But the reality is, there's not a lot of those guys out there. And a lot of the guys that are those guys out there are guys that are still competing. Arch Manning, right now for Texas, they are still, granted, a long ways off, but still alive for an SEC championship opportunity. Carson Beck at Miami, alive for a playoff spot. Ohio State, BYU is still alive right now. LSU with Garrett Nussmeier, still alive technically for an SEC title game. Of all the teams that are inside of, let's say, the top 20 NIL guys, of all the teams that are in that mix, there's only a few that are cooked. USC's not cooked. They got number 20. Florida may be cooked, but like that. Oh, sorry. I say Florida. Florida's biggest NIL guy right now is a basketball player. Guy by the name of Boogie Fland. That's the highest NIL they got. It's $2.1 million to a basketball player. Like, what do you want? Number 15, all of college football, right? The 15th highest NIL guy right now is a Michigan basketball player with a great name, Yaxel Lendenborg. Great name.
Yaxel.
Out of Yuma, Arizona. Yaxel Lendenborg. Like, the 15th highest guy. The 10th highest paid guy is, sorry, I said Texas Tech. The 10th highest paid guy is a Texas Tech basketball player. You see what I'm saying? Like, you can make the argument, well, it'll happen across college football. Of the top 20 NIL guys, like, five of them are basketball players, and nobody else is making more than a million. This isn't going to be a big-time problem. This is accurate for guys who are threats to be top two, three, four draft picks in the NFL, and there's only a couple of those. There's only a few. There's probably two other quarterbacks in America right now that I would say, if they were in Lenoris's shoes, I'd shut it down. Carson Beck is one of them. Would you tell Arch Manning shut it down? Not right now. His NFL value, if he was to come out, is in the tank.
It's not going anywhere anyway. His grandpa said he's playing another
year. Yeah, then he said, my grandpa don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, but
which was fun.
His grandpa is Archie Manning.
Legend.
He's playing another year.
Football has more than one royal family. All right. Here's the point. Of the guys in the top 10, 15, there's only two or three that are like, this guy could be the number one overall pick. And of those three, Lenoris is the only one who's not alive for a Heisman or a playoff spot. He's the only one. So, no, this would not be a college football-wide thing. It's literally one guy right now. But, yes, I see, as of today, I see one win in South Carolina's future for the rest of the year. This team might finish 4-8, which is below the floor expectations that anybody set for this squad, myself included, being a jaded, cynical son of a gun. Below those expectations. I don't know what to tell you. $3.5 million to go out there and play behind that offensive line. With a new offensive line coach, by the way, so who knows what's going to happen. But $3.5 or that $48.5 million guaranteed that Cam Ward said, which one do you want in your bank account? I'll take the James Franklin. I mean, Cam Ward money. All right, let's talk Clemson ball when we come back on the Rob Brown Show. It is the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk, crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
We'll call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport?
Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
All right, if you'd like to continue the conversation about Lenora Sellers, you're welcome to 844-326-3663. You can text or call. We'll put you on the air, or I will read your text on the air, whichever one that you want to get to. But I do think we need to, let's switch it up. Let's talk a little bit about this Clemson Tigers win over the Boston College Eagles this weekend. I will start with the down the center take, the realistic take, not the everything is awesome take. The down the middle take of a 41-10 win over Boston College is that Boston College is 1-5. They are 0-4 in conference. You played last week your get right game, North Carolina. And again, the script that I would have laid out for Clemson has been followed. Get right against North Carolina, turn it around the next week, and take it out on Boston College. You put up 24 in the second quarter before you largely started rotating in your backups in the second half, sitting on a 34-10 lead at that point. You did what I needed you to do. Go let Cade get his 22 of 30, 280, a tutty and a pick. Go let the running backs get theirs. Adam Randall, 10 carries, 36 yards and a touchdown. Cade, 9 for 48 and a touchdown. Keith Adams, 7 for 49 and a touchdown. Antonio Williams got 3 carries for 32 as well. Get comfortable in the run game. You ran for 226 yards. Get comfortable with the passing attack. Nothing fancy, nothing over the top, nothing flash, no razzle dazzle. Just go do the ball. Just go do football. Just go do foundational, bottom of the barrel, traditional football and get your groove. You got your flash, you got your pop against North Carolina. Run it back and just go take it out on Boston College. You did that. But the takeaway here is going to be, now do it against a team with a pulse. Now do it against a team with a pulse. Now let's go do it against somebody. And again, next on deck, SMU. Now, this is not the same SMU team as it was last year. They are 4-2 right now. They lost on the road at TCU. Good football team. They lost at home against Baylor by 3 in maybe the most entertaining football game of the 2025 college football season. It's not a bad team. They went out and they did what they needed to do with a 34-10 win over Stanford. And on top of that, and this is the one thing that I said I would be worried about SMU, even if they're not back to being a ACC championship game contender and competitor as they were last year. My concern was, if Kevin Jennings gets going, then it's a problem. If Kevin Jennings gets comfortable, then it's a problem. 22 of 32, 47, two touchdowns, no interceptions. Granted, he got sacked four times for 19 yards. And that is, again, where Clemson needs to make their money against SMU. That front seven, and I will throw this out. The front seven looked better the last 2 weeks. But you look better against a Boston College Eagles team that, and here's the question, Clemson, you played them on Saturday. What's their quarterback's name? You just played them. What's the QB's name? You see what I'm saying? Like, you did it against a bad football team in Boston College. You did it against a quarterback that is in a conference that spent their entire freaking offseason trying to convince everybody that they are the, and I quote, conference of quarterbacks, TM. You don't know Boston Colleges. Their second string quarterback by the name is a cat by the name of Shaker Reisig. Shaker's a good name. Shaker's a good name. So that front seven played well, but you did it against a quarterback whose name you can't remember, and you played him 2 days ago. And you did it against the cyborg in Max Johnson of UNC. And not like cyborg in the cool T2000 way. Cyborg in the I didn't volunteer for that kind of way. So if the front seven is not dramatically better, Kevin Jennings can do things to you that you have not seen done to you since Syracuse did it with Angeli. And Angeli ain't Kevin Jennings. Like, he's the bright spot on this SMU team. So the front seven's going to have to be better. It just has to. And the good news is, Cade Klubnik played out of his skull in this win. Like, he was making the throws that you have been wanting to see him make for a while now. He was making the throws. He was dropping the dimes. He looked like the Cade Klubnik that we were promised at the beginning of the year. But again, North Carolina might have the best defensive backfield, sorry, worst defensive backfield in football. And Boston College is just a bad overall football team. So can you do it against a team with a pulse? SMU's defense is fine. It is better than Boston College. It is better than North Carolina. We will later in the week get to the X's and O's of what SMU does with the defense, but you ran the ball like I had hoped you would. 43 rushing attempts in this game. You had Cade throw it 30 times. Chris Vezina threw it 3. And by the way, I'm going to say this, and I say this with all due respect, Chris Vezina is not the future. Now, he might be if I trusted your quarterback development, but I don't trust your quarterback development. And if I don't trust your quarterback development, you better hit on a guy who shows up ready to ball out on day one until you show me quarterback development, which I haven't seen out of the last couple of guys. So I don't think your quarterback for next year is right now on the roster unless something changes in development, just accelerates for this team. But Cade Klubnik is the guy for right now. And he showed you that he can spin the bean the way you need him to this weekend against BC and last weekend against UNC. But what about against a team with a pulse? What about against a team that is not going to let you run 73 offensive plays in a game? What about against a team that has Kevin Jennings at quarterback? One of the guys that in the conference of quarterbacks, TM, is one of the quarterbacks that they promoted this offseason. What about that? Like, the script of the last 2 weeks has absolutely been followed. Get right against North Carolina, take it out on Boston College. But the front seven's going to have to be better against Kevin Jennings. Your offense is now going to have to show that everything it's done the last 2 weeks can be done against a defense with a pulse. And if those things come true, okay, maybe we're on the straight and narrow for the Clemson Tigers. Maybe we're pointed in the right direction. But I still think there's work to be done. I still think there is work to be done for this team. Because after SMU, again, do I think Duke is as good as SMU? Not really. But Darian Mintz is kind of a dude at quarterback. Florida State. Now, 2 weeks ago, it felt like this Florida State game was probably a tilt to FSU. Maybe a slight lean. Now it feels more like Clemson's favorite in that game. Right now, and they don't have a line on this game, obviously. So the best I can give you is the ESPN matchup predictor. The matchup predictor right now has Clemson favored 53%. So that's like a minus 115 Clemson, minus 105 Florida State betting line right now. That's a Clemson at the crib by 1.5, maybe 2.5. But despite the fact that Florida State's lost 3 in a row, including to the Pitt Panthers. And again, I would like to point out that. This was a Pittsburgh team that at ACC Media Days, I didn't believe any of them, but at ACC Media Days, I had a number of media members who said this Pitt team is going to be Pat Narduzzi's best bet at keeping his job if he wants to stay at Pittsburgh, that this Pitt team has some talent on it, which is fine because I don't think that's incorrect. The problem is Florida State just got run by a Pitt team that was starting a brand new quarterback and a true freshman who went out there and dimed him for 230 and some tutties. Like, not great. And yet, just a slight lean to Clemson a couple of weeks out. We'll see. The point here is Thomas Castellanos at Florida State. Florida State's big problem this weekend, when they needed touchdowns for whatever reason, Gus Malzahn decided, hey, you know how we've been throwing the ball around a lot? And granted, Florida State was missing Deuce Robinson, their best wide receiver, Squirrel White, their second best wide receiver. They were missing their starting tight end. Like, Florida State was banged up this weekend. But even in that, even with that, if you want to make me believe in the old next man up philosophy, Florida State ran the ball like 13 times in a row, down 2 scores in the second half. It's not a well-coached team, and yet you are barely favored. So, you got Thomas Castellanos back there. Do they change that up and become a threatened team? Miller Moss is getting 330, 340 a game for Louisville. And then again, I am officially, with all due respect, and the threat of sleeping on the couch tonight, I'm out on South Carolina. I don't have a lot of positives for that football team right now. But if there is one, it's very similar to last year, and you all know what Lenora Sellers did to you in the fourth quarter of that game. Assuming he's still playing at that point, Lenora Sellers is your fourth quarter threat, just like he was last year, though he did have Rocket Sanders. Different story. You get the point. So, with all of that being said, you did it. You followed the script. You got right against North Carolina. You took it out on Boston College. Now we see if Clemson can do it to a team with a pulse against SMU. All right, when we come back, your AP Top 25 is out. Let's react and respond to how they stacked those bad boys up. But before we get to that, John Blau with the Post and Courier joins us in the next segment. We'll get his thoughts on Clemson's win over BC and what they should be looking ahead to against SMU next on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer, first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you, 844-326-3663 is the number to be a part of the radio program today. But right now, you can't call because the phone lines are locked up. The phone lines are locked up because it's 8:40 in the morning, and we welcome in a young man who covers the Clemson Athletic Department for the Post and Courier. He joins us every Monday, kind enough to do so, Mr. John Blau, here on the show. John, how we feeling on a Monday morning, big dog?
Feeling good, pretty good. All rested up after, I think I got 4 hours coming back from Boston the night before, so now I got about 8 or 9 hours.
That a boy. That's what I average in a week. Good on you, John Blau. And let's talk about it. You're feeling pretty good. I have to imagine Dab and the boys feeling pretty good. A 41-10 win on the road against Boston College. And we'll talk about what that means in the lead up to the game against SMU this weekend, John Blau. But what are the vibes around the squad going up to Boston College and doing what they expected to do and laying it down on the Eagles?
Yeah, like you said, I think feeling pretty good. Kay Klubnik had another good game. Timing accuracy was all there. Brian Wesko made some big plays. I mean, you got to see Peter Woods rumbling in the end zone, in that jumbo package they got there with, Braden Jacobs at fullback and, Braden Jacobs, the freshman, offensive tackle, played a lot of snaps because Kristen Lee wasn't completely healthy. So good things there. And then defensively, they held one of the better passing offenses in college football to not many yards. And so, obviously, again, the level of opponent, I'm not sure this is one of the better teams in the ACC, kind of the same as North Carolina, maybe a little bit of a step up because UNC is that bad. But to execute, continue to execute at a high level is something that Clemson wasn't doing early in the season. So that's a step in the right direction for Clemson for sure.
Yeah, the thought to me the last 2 weeks, John Blau, was use the North Carolina game, a team that is just not very good, to get right, to just get back to being who you want to be, and then go take it out on Boston College. And while I understand that there's not like that image of under Dabo Swinney Clemson being that angry, violent football team, the thought was just go up there, pound the rock. They ran it 40 times. Go up there, let Cade Klubnik get comfortable. He goes off for 280 and a touchdown. It just felt to me like this was we spent last week getting right, now let's go show it off a little bit kind of weekend.
Right, yeah. And again, Cade just seems to really be putting the ball in the right place and out on time, which is something that we did not see earlier in the year. Just looked uncomfortable back there. He just looks very comfortable, again, in the pocket. And so that's a huge step in the right direction. And defensively, Boston College was picking up some yards in the first half, but then they kind of put their foot down. They hadn't had a takeaway in three straight games. They finally get one. Sammy Brown comes in, forces the fumble, sack fumble, T.J. Parker, go back down the field, score again. So complimentary football is something Dabo Swinney has talked a lot about that they didn't see in those first few weeks. Seems like the offense and the defense are really playing off of each other. I know everybody was a little, you know, irked by the orange pants or whatever because it wasn't a championship game and all that, but they're having fun. They're back to playing confident football, playing together, pulling the same side of the rope, I think is what Peter Wood said. Obviously, you give yourself a lot better chance to win football games. And SMU is a little bit better of a team, not the greatest team in the world, but a notch up, maybe kind of at your level. So you're playing better going into that week. I think that's really important.
Yeah, and the thing I took away from that, John Blau, was the defensive front seven specifically. You mentioned it. Boston College able to put some points on the board in the first half before Clemson's defense pitched a shutout in the second half. But the talent's only going to tick up. And more importantly to me, the level of quarterbacks that you've got ready to come down the pipe at you over the next couple of weeks. We mentioned Kevin Jennings coming up this weekend. You've got Thomas Castellanos. And yes, Florida State obviously has taken a big step back since that win against Bama. But you know when he gets his wide receivers back, Deuce and Squirrel White, he's a troublemaker. Darian Mensa at Duke, Miller Moss at Louisville, Lenora Sellers at South Carolina. It's a run of very good quarterbacks that Clemson has to play over the back half of the season. What did you make of that front seven's performance? And do you think that that translates to being able to slow down Kevin Jennings, who had a very good football game against Stanford this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they stopped the run on early downs is really important. I don't think Boston College, I can't remember it off the top of my head, but Turbo Richards had a few, you know, gashes, but for the most part, they didn't get a whole lot off the run, which set up a lot of second and third long situations, which allowed Clemson to bring out their, I don't know if it's called the rabbit or the cheetah package. You know, Dabo said it's been called both through the years, but they had three defensive ends on the field at the same time. You got Helt, Lawson, and Parker all on the field. They seem to be able to do some really interesting things with that group in terms of just one of them dropping off, or you bring all three. And Jaheim Lawson has gotten a whole lot of pressure. He's been a guy that for sure has taken a huge step up this year. And so that gives you hope. If this Clemson defensive line with the likes of Capehart, Woods, Stephylin Green are really holding that interior, you know, we're seeing some better edges from Parker and Held on early downs, then later on second and third, they seem to be able to get some more pressure. And that's something that Clemson has not been able to get, and obviously early in the year was not able to get. And so they're taking a step forward, it seems. And like you said, I mean, Kevin Jennings, Castellanos in particular, those are quarterbacks that definitely move. You got to keep them in the pocket. You got to, you know, bring pressure, but in a disciplined way. It seems like they're ramping up towards being able to do that. But they got to continue, again, to stop the run on first down. To be able to set that up.
John Blau with the Post and Courier joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan of State. Clemson, a 41-10 win over Boston College this weekend, getting set to welcome SMU back to Death Valley. How big, John, do you think? I know we talked a little bit about it going into the North Carolina game a little bit last week as well, but the boys kind of getting out of the comfort zone, getting away from everything that's going on, all the conversation around South Carolina, taking it on the road for a couple of weeks to maybe get out. I've talked to plenty of athletes who have said sometimes at a spot in the season where you're maybe not where you are, a good road trip, especially a couple of weeks away from the house, can be a good thing. Do you think that there was any play in that, or was this just the football team kind of finding its way back?
Yeah, I don't know if the venue mattered. Like you said, I think there's something to that, but I think we even asked some of the players, and you know, while some of them will give you the whole, we like being booed on the road, and you know, we like the hostility and all that. There really wasn't much in terms of the opposing crowds. I mean, UNC was going at halftime, and Boston College had a decent crowd there, but you know, it seemed like half of them were Hannafins, because Roden Hannafin was from the Boston area, and I think Dabo said there were like 200 of his family members there. And so, but yeah, it's good, like you said. I think to go on the road, bond a little bit, you know, kind of just it's just you versus everyone else. And so, I think that maybe that played into it a little bit, but I think it's at the, you know, at its base, just playing better football, just executing, which they were not doing early in the season, which just happened to be at home for a bunch of these games. Obviously, Syracuse being the most disappointing. So yeah, just getting on a better, you know, page together in terms of just doing your one of 11, I think is what they call it. You know, each 11 guys, each of the 11 doing what they're supposed to do. They seem to be doing that at a higher rate. We'll see if they can continue to do that when they come back home this weekend.
John Blau of the Post and Courier joining us here as he does every Monday on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Talk to me a little bit about what you see out of SMU. I mean, I think we've all kind of leaned down on this team, like a few others Clemson will play, going to be determined by Kevin Jennings, by their quarterback, who has picked his performance up the last couple of weeks. I know the run game not quite as impressive as it was last year, John Blau, and I know we're still a ways off of the game, but just kind of your overall thoughts on what Clemson is up against when they play the Mustangs this Saturday.
Yeah, again, a team that's a notch better, I think, or maybe at least two or three notches better than UNC and Boston College, considering those teams are pretty low down the pecking order. But like you said, Kevin Jennings, a pretty good quarterback. I think I saw a highlight of him this past weekend, throwing like a behind-the-back pass on a play. I mean, just a dynamic playmaker, a guy who can run, obviously scramble around, you know, really obviously extend plays. And they saw that in the ACC title game last year. But like you said, I think not having a running back like a Breshard Smith, like they did last year to kind of complement him, I think they're a little bit more one-dimensional this year. And so, again, I think that's where it comes back to can you stop the run first and second downs, put Kevin Jennings in some more uncomfortable situations, then can you be a disciplined in how you rush him, I think is really important. Because, you know, yeah, SMU has had a couple blowout wins, but I think it was over Steve Vangelis, Syracuse team. I think it was Stanford. So it's, you know, not the best of opponents to judge SMU off of. I don't think this is maybe the SMU of a year ago, but still a pretty good team. We really haven't seen Clemson win a game against a pretty good team yet. So that's what makes this weekend pretty important.
What John Blau, do you think is, maybe not in terms of results, but just possible outcomes, what is Clemson hoping for? What do you think is possible? I mean, obviously not mathematically eliminated from the ACC, though obviously they would need a ton of help at this point. What is the goal for this team now? We heard Dabo say, going into the North Carolina game, new season, this is week one, treated last week as week two. So if they are reestablishing a new season for the rest of the year, what is a realistic outcome? What is the goal that they are trying to hit?
Yeah, the ACC, it seems very unlikely that you're going to be able to get back into the ACC title game hunt. You needed Georgia Tech to actually lose to Wake Forest like they were supposed to. I guess that offside call not called. You know, that didn't happen. And, you know, Georgia Tech's not falling out. Miami looks pretty good. You know, there's a bunch of teams that are probably still going to be ahead of you at the end of the day. It's really just about salvaging this season as best you can, building momentum for next year. Again, coming back to the orange pants, that was interesting what Dabo said, that, you know, we brought them out because usually only wear them in quote-unquote championship games. This Boston College obviously wasn't one, but he also said that we don't know how many opportunities we're going to have to wear them this year. You got South Carolina, that's probably it. So, I mean, they're pretty self-aware about the fact that they really did kind of throw the season a little bit in those first four games as far as championship aspirations, but just playing better, you know, not having a legacy of being a complete failure. Maybe you can create a legacy of you didn't achieve what everybody thought you would, but you responded at least. And they're doing that thus far. Let's see if they can continue to do that against some, again, better teams, SMU, Duke, Florida State, Louisville, all notches above what Boston College, North Carolina were. And I think they're feeling pretty good, confident, because they've done what they needed to do. And we'll see if they kind of continue to see that confidence grow and feel better satisfied about what they're getting out of this year.
Last one, John, I'll let you go. Outcome of the game, prediction for the game, what you got this week?
That's an interesting one. let's go. I'll go 30-28 Clemson over SMU. I think it's going to be close. I just think these are pretty two evenly matched teams from what we've seen thus far. I think playing at home, if that confidence continues to rise, I think this is definitely a winnable game. But it's not, you know, I guess I can't say anything with too much confidence considering what we've seen from Clemson at home, some of the performances, and again, the level of competition against Boston College and North Carolina. It's a little bit of an unknown what we're going to see when we see Clemson against a better team. So very close game. That's what I'm thinking right now.
John Blau from the Post and Courier, kind enough to join us every Monday at 8:40 a.m. My man, appreciate it as always. John, we'll talk to you next week, bud.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Look forward to it. John Blau of the Post and Courier. Make sure you follow him on X at John, J-O-N, Blau, B-L-A-U. Make sure you follow Lonzo through the most important stories of the day in this Sports Flash.
Come along, let's have a good time, shall we? Bryce Young threw for 3 touchdowns, and Rico Dowdle ran for 183 yards in a 30-27 Panthers win over the Cowboys. Young completed 17 of his 25 passes with a touchdown pass to Rico Dowdle and 2 to Ricky Etero McMillan. Panthers are now 3-3. With the Jets up next this Sunday. The AP Top 25 has dropped with Ohio State maintaining their grip on number 1. Miami stays at number 2, while the Indiana Hoosiers jump to number 3 ahead of Texas A&M and Ole Miss in the top 5. Alabama, Texas Tech, Oregon, Georgia, and LSU round out the top 10. Seattle Mariners stole a 3-1 win over the Blue Jays in Game 1 in Toronto to take a 1-0 series lead in the AL Championship Series. Bryce Miller threw 6 innings, allowing just 2 hits and 1 run, while the Mariner offense generated 7 hits, including a Cal Raleigh homer in the 6th. Game 2 is today at 5.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.